Blog Talk Radio.
Nope. Well, my new theme is supposed to go on. Not a new theme, but the usual theme. But anyway, let me get this adjusted. Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Brizola, working with the new Shadow. And we changed our program format because major habeas corpus has been filed, but it didn't get any publicity because of the pro-illegal alien lobby, I won't call them a constituency, but political movement here in San Francisco and in California, in our media and in our lawyers, who are more mechanics than they are professionals. What's important about this case is Stephen Gruhl is one of the 50 out of the 100 lawyers who worked in the Northern District Office of the U.S. Attorney under Kevin Vincent Ryan, the suspected illegal alien himself from Canada. He lied about how he entered the U.S. from Canada, claiming on sworn documents that he lived all his life in San Francisco. Well, if he was born in Canada, unless there was an Immaculate Conception or he's under another name, but the fact is he lied. Not only that, in the October 1999 kangaroo court trial that he presided over illegally in the Stephen Nery case, who was raped by another illegal alien, Juan P. Frey, who was politically connected and judicially protected by corrupt San Francisco media, politicians, and judges here in San Francisco City and College, City and County, excuse me. Still getting over this bloody cold. Anyway, the jury questions, which we got a copy of, it's very unusual. We had very unusual access because at the time we were the legal liaison to the U.S. Navy and to the feds on this case because his public defender couldn't or wouldn't defend him. Anyway, because he was probably gay also. But P. Frey's illegal alien status, which was known to several people, was concealed from the jury. That jury also had an Iranian lesbian. She surfaced in the gay, lesbian, NAMBLA, transgendered marriage spectacle we had here. The woman, Motamed, is important because she's involved in the Livermore Atomic Lab program. And here we are at practically at war with Iran, and we have this Iranian lesbian in our atomic bomb program, or our atomic energy program. Something is quite wrong here. Not only that, haven't we learned from the theft of the atomic bomb cases involving the Rosenbergs, Philby, the British MI5 people who were communists, quasi-communists, spies working for Stalin, Burgess and McLean, or McLean, and then the Queen Elizabeth's portrait expert, Sir Anthony Blunt. He was stripped of his title. All these were communists from the 30s who were engaged in spying for the Soviet Union and who were involved in the theft of military secrets, which also included the theft of the atomic bomb. There's an interesting film, just to digress, called House on 92nd Street. We'll get into an aspect of J. Edgar Hoover's personality that very few people have looked at. But anyway, that's when the Germans, the Nazis, set up a spy ring in New York on 92nd Street to infiltrate and steal the atomic bomb secrets that we were working on at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. The FBI busted it. It's a true story, and the film is called House on 92nd Street, starring Lloyd Nolan, Sidney Hossa, William Dudley. Great film. But this is just one of the problems. Not only that, Stephen, getting back to the Stephen Nery, the 18-year-old, it's now he's been illegally detained, confined, sentenced to California state prisons for nearly 16 years now, or 15 years, excuse me. And it seems that American military personnel, even here in the United States, we've got a case in Colorado of Tim Masters, another 18-year-old who was accused of murdering and raping a woman who was twice his size. And it turned out that case was rigged by two corrupt prosecutors who later became Colorado State Court judges. They were reprimanded. They weren't removed. They weren't disbarred, debenched, or disrobed of their judicial robes. That case was featured a couple of months ago on 48 Hours. But the Steve Nery case, because the homosexuals and the lesbians who are politically connected and judicially protected in this town and in this county and in this state, the Steve Nery case has been essentially, with few exceptions, it has been censored and suppressed. And when they couldn't censor it, when we try to get information out, they did everything they could to intimidate and distort, lie, distort, and omit. Now the book, it's still available, and it has an unusual editor, Mary Madeline, the wife of James Carville, and they're two dissimilar personalities. I don't understand it. But she was the editor for the book What's the Matter with California, and in the book is not specifically about Stephen Nery and all the violations of his rights, but it gets he's part of the book chapter and then woven into other chapters. What's interesting about Mary Madeline, you know, she's supposed to be a Republican, born in Calumet City, Indiana. Well, it's near the border. Anyway, in the Cook County area, in that area of northern Illinois, northern Indiana, Calumet City was as bad as Phoenix City, Alabama. Prostitution and drugs, interesting place. And if you want to see something, maybe we'll put it up on our YouTube, Amicus Veritas, website, Video Verite. The Phoenix City story, which was about Phoenix City, Alabama, the predecessor of George Wallace as governor of Alabama, I forgot the guy's name, but he was a Army JAG, and his father ran, John Patterson, that's it, Captain John Patterson. His father, Patterson Sr., ran to clean up the state of Alabama back in the late 40s and early 50s. Phoenix City was described by Time magazine as the most corrupt city in America. Probably the most corrupt city in America today is San Francisco. Anyway, Patterson was assassinated, and John Patterson, his son, came home from the Army. He was an Army lawyer, Army JAG, and he ran for Attorney General of Alabama on the platform to clean up and clear out Phoenix City, Alabama, and he won. He was the predecessor to George Wallace, who was also in World War II. He was a tail gunner like Joe McCarthy. Anyway, Patterson later, after he left the governorship, he became a judge. I don't know if he's still alive. That's John Patterson, but that's an interesting story. But anyway, getting back to Stephen Gruhl, he was one of the U.S. assistant U.S. attorneys who quit rather than work under this incompetent abuser, suspected illegal himself, Kevin Vincent Ryan. Ryan railroaded Stephen Nery in a case that he defied the removal of federal court, defied the habeas corpus, invited the audience to go to lunch with the jury, tried to intimidate me. He knew that I was the legal liaison and reporting to the Navy on the status and what was going on in this case. He also allowed lesbians to come into court wearing bright orange stickers saying, stop illegal bashing, stop homophobia, and all of this garbage. And he allowed this to go on. He allowed these lesbians who were wearing these bright orange stickers to stand up and lobby the jury, which would consisted of at least another possible illegal, a woman named Pan Gu, who got a down payment for a house, a first-time buyer's payment, and she was a realtor who already owned two other houses. So there's some fraud there. But anyway, what's important about this case is that American military servicemen, it appears, do not have the same rights as illegal aliens and terrorists. They are given habeas corpus. They're given lawyers if they can't afford them, and the majority of them can't. Yet a U.S. Navy sailor, a U.S. Marine, we have the cases in Norfolk, the Norfolk Four. That's another case of a corrupt local policeman railroading four young semi-literate sailors into Virginia State Prison. And then the Tim Masters case, he served illegally 15 years. And that was finally overturned. What's unusual about California is that of all the states, a prisoner who is illegally convicted can get remuneration or compensation from the state alone for $100 a day. In Texas, it's capped out at $10,000 for if this happens. And I think Illinois, you have to sue. In Colorado, I don't know what Tim Masters is going to do, and I don't know what the Norfolk Four, those who, if they can get cleared of this, what they claim is they were railroaded into state prison there and abused. But anyway, there's another scandal involving the deputy assistant San Francisco district attorney, a woman named Nancy Tung, who came down to a parole hearing in California State Prison. She came down with photos, allegedly, of the crime. She prosecuted a parole applicant, Stephen Neri, when she was only down there to state the position of her office, which was corrupt to begin with, and they railroaded the kid. But instead, she browbeat him and totally violated lawyer ethics and the canons of state bar. And now she's worried about her bar card. She's also involved in the, it's all over the press, the San Francisco Police Lab. A lot of cocaine and drugs are missing. They don't know where they went. And the woman who ran the lab is being prosecuted. And if you remember the film French Connection, which started in the New York Police Department's drug lockup, where 40 pounds of heroin disappeared. So this is even worse, because Pifre was believed to have had cocaine stashed in his apartment. He had cocaine in his blood after the autopsy, and in effect, he committed a cocaine-crazed rape, male rape of a drunken U.S. Navy sailor, 18 years old, part Native American, who couldn't hold his liquor. As you know, Native Americans have a gene missing, or you should know that. Not only that, we believe he used the date rape drug, Rohypnol, on the kid when he left his drink on the table in this swing club. Now, we obtained the video called How to Seduce Young Military Recruits. It cropped up in the homosexual prostitution paper here in San Francisco called The Bay Reporter. They've been running ads for years for male and boy prostitution, S&M, glory holes. They have a habit of publishing what we call homosexual necrophilia, where they publish frontal nude photos of prominent dead people. And also, when Arnold Schwarzenegger ran in the recall for governorship of California, they published a frontal nude photo of him. There was no reason to do that. They opposed him just on political grounds. They supported Dianne Feinstein, and she's another piece of work. But there was no reason to publish a frontal nude photo of Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's just sexual harassment. But they get away with it. And, of course, the morons in the media, they read it, they laugh, and then they don't publish these things. But their commerce catching up with them. On this illegal alien thing, and again, we need to clearly and carefully define our terms. These people are not coming here to become U.S. citizens. Some of them have been lured into illegal voting, voting registration and voting, quote, absentee, so they don't get caught. And now one of the corrupt San Francisco former school board members, who's now in the state legislature, Leland Yee, who's involved in his own scandals, wants the state to pass the law to allow registration and voting on Election Day. And, of course, there's no way to verify documents. And why should people be registering and voting on Election Day when there's absentee ballot, balloting and voter registration and voting, absentee voting, that's been going on? It's going on right now. So there's no reason for this. But it's an invitation, and it has caused a lot of problems with the voting for candidates and that sort of thing. And we've seen voter fraud with Acorn and Maldive and all these other groups and other foreigners as well. There were a couple of Filipinos involved. Now, the Mexicans, this is very interesting. The Mexicans have their own immigration, illegal alien and immigration problem, because they're Spanish-speaking, on their southern border with Guatemala. And what happens down there, they turn these people, these migrants, back, or they arrest them, harass them. Women are getting raped. There's horrible, horrible accidents on those trains. But here's a breakdown of, well, you know, what they're not talking about. Everybody thinks it's only Mexicans. It's not. We have, here's the, get this, Homeland Security's own statistics. I don't know how valuable they are or how correct they are, but it used to be last year 11.6 million estimated, they call them undocumented. This year it's 10.8 undocumented. Now 1 million of these people are from Asia, according to these stats. Now, after the Mexicans, it's El Salvador. We got 530,000. Guatemala, 480,000. These are estimates, round out figures. Honduras, 320,000. The Philippines, which is Asian, 270,000. India and Korea, 200,000. Ecuador, 170,000. Brazil, 150,000. China, 120,000. I don't believe that figure is correct. Because there's a lot of illegal aliens here in San Francisco. We had a big scandal of a ship that had a boatload of boys. They dropped them off at night off of the Presidio, but they were caught and sent back to China via Mexico. What happens when both boys and girls come over here illegally, the, I forgot what they call them, well, they're Tong, they're a Chinese mafia who involved in illegal aliens smuggling, turn these kids into drugs, gangs, to terrorize, and also prostitution and pedophilia. And there is a group called Wu Yi, which is trying to educate these Asian kids how to prevent themselves from being victims of these pedophiles and pimps. Now, we did put up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUS, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, a scandal at a Presbyterian house called Donna Lena Cameron here in San Francisco. For 40 years, the guy that ran the place was molesting the boys. And the Presbyterians didn't do anything about it until he left. But, you know, we hear about the Roman Catholic Church, and yes, they have problems. And as a Catholic, I have seen it in boarding school, and what they did in those days in the 50s and 60s was to move these priests around or move them away from this. In my case, my school, the guy was gone the next day. A brother tried to approach a young girl, and he was sent back to Canada the next day and sent to a farm. But we didn't know that they were moving these priests around, and it isn't only priests. It was brothers and nuns who were involved. So, you know, it's across the board, and every religion is involved. There are rabbis who have raped children, who have molested boys. There are prominent Protestants who are involved in that. Here, we haven't learned from Jim Jones, the Reverend Jim Jones, you want to call him that. And those of you who can forget Jonestown was such a scandal in November 1979 when all these people died down there, but the corrupt politicians in San Francisco, he conned them into getting them to appoint him head of the San Francisco Housing Authority, and he ran not a chop shot, but a fencing place where you could get anything you wanted, drugs, stolen goods, boys, girls, Section 8s, and now they've appointed this black who's the head of the NAACP in San Francisco, Reverend Amos Brown, whose claim to fame is he touched the hem of Martin Luther King's garment and is buddy-buddy with Nelson Mandela. He's another guy from Mississippi, and he's got $250,000 in pedophile judgments against him and his church, the Third Baptist, but the Baptists aren't doing anything about him. Neither is NAACP, which has destroyed what was left of their credibility. So it's across the board. It isn't only Catholics. It isn't only white Irish Catholic priests. We're now seeing an expose of the Germans, the Austrians, one Belgian bishop, the Irish, and also South American bishops and priests and nuns who have abused children. And in Ireland especially, there was a group of nuns called the Magdalens, and for years they sexually and physically abused young girls and had them in virtual slavery. Now I understand they've gotten into real estate building so-called affordable housing and all that real estate racketeering. But, you know, to be fair to the Mexicans, it isn't only them. And then, of course, the Canadians. When I was working here in 1968 at a company as an investigator, we had a Canadian girl from British Columbia who we used to party with, I admit it. And we knew that she was in the country, and she was working. She was an accountant at the office. And she later went back to British Columbia, but we all liked to party in those days, and we really didn't think that illegal aliens were an issue, especially with white Canadians. I'm sorry to say that. Now we realize there in the Canadian consulate in Portland, for instance, estimates there are about 80,000 Canadians just in Oregon alone. And and I don't think this figure is accurate. There are about 65 to 75,000 Canadians who are illegally here in the United States. And then we have my own family, Polish in-laws. There's an estimated 10,000 illegals in the Chicago area who are Poles. We told our Polish in-law to go back and get his papers straightened out before he was sent back. And it's estimated that the illegal Irish in Canada in the eastern seaboard come through Maine and down through there. There's an estimated 10 million of them, and then, of course, that's when the Kevin Ryan situation comes up, because clearly on paper he got caught. He swore in documents when he ran for judge that he lived all his life in San Francisco. When we got a hold of his marriage certificate and another document, it turns out he was born in Alberta, Canada. And he lied as much as he could and tried to cover it up, and it could be that he was being blackmailed. And we suspect that happened because one of the parties in the Stephen Neri case is involved in male and boy prostitution and this newspaper, the Bay Reporter. And it's all documented. It's in black and white, and it's irrefutable. It's unfortunate we have to spend time on this. But, you know, when a guy and when a person crosses the line and steps forward, as they say, at the recruiting station, they come under the Universal Code of Military Justice. That takes priority even over any attempts by even the U.S. Department of Justice. They can't go on a military base or a ship or a plane to arrest somebody. There is a memorandum of understanding, and it's facilitated, and the FBI can question, and the services do cooperate, but they just can't go on there and yank somebody. And even in a federal building, the local police cannot go into the federal building and just arrest somebody. There are procedures to protect. First of all, it's a different status that the federal government is supreme. The state can't tell the federal government what to do. Now, what's different in this Arizona, quote, immigration bill is the state saying the federal government hasn't done what it's supposed to do by the law. So we need to make that distinction very clear, unequivocally clear. So that's the difference there. But here in the Stephen Neri case, they not only forged papers to get him off the ship, they abused him for 3.5 years. So I don't want to, you know, just beat on this, but other military personnel have been abused around the country, and I understand there may be as many as 5,000 military personnel who are in local jails and prisons, and we don't know what's going on abroad. So it's something to think about, especially if you know somebody who's going into the service, and I would recommend it to there are a lot of benefits, educational benefits. Give you drive, discipline, and direction for those kids who don't know what to do with themselves. And it used to be that a judge would offer a teenager who was delinquent a choice of going to county jail or joining the service. They don't do that anymore as much. And oftentimes it did work out. The kid did go straight. He did get the discipline, the direction, and the drive to succeed in life and to be a contributing citizen to this country, to this nation. Also, Glenn Beck has brought up some very interesting things. He's being trashed by Huffington Post, which has a little credibility left. Those of you who don't know about the Huffington Post, this Greek woman, Ariana, married a guy named Huffington. They had two daughters, I think. And he's from Texas, oil money. Turned out he was gay. They got a divorce. She got a chunk of money, and she got into this. Decided she wanted to get into politics, and thought she was, a Greek queen coming over here, and she could influence things. And it turns out that she went off the deep end with this liberal garbage. And they've been trashing Glenn Beck and other people who disagree with the direction of the administration or the maladministration in Washington. Anyway, this was not published in the paper, but it turns out that left-wingers in the Democratic Party who want to increase the influence and power of the Democratic representation in Congress, two more senators, and I think it's about 9 representatives, Puerto Rico has an unusual status. After we seized it from Spain in 1898, it was kept as a protectorate, a commonwealth, and they have all kinds of privileges that American citizens don't have. They can travel freely. I don't think they pay income tax, but they do. They can be drafted, and there's a lot of American industry down there. And, of course, those of you who saw the movie or the Broadway play West Side Story, there's that famous song sung by Rita Moreno about Puerto Rico. Anyway, they're trying to turn. There have been 3 plebiscites in Puerto Rico on this issue. Do they want to become the 51st state? And every time the people have said, no, we want to keep our status. Well, now they're switching the language around and trying to con the Puerto Rican voters into forcing the issue on statehood as the 51st state. And what this means is, of course, the Democrats will have 2 more seats in the Senate, and so we'll have 102 senators, and they'll have 9 more instead of 476 representatives. We'll have, 483 or 485, depending on the numbers. And, of course, they will be Democratic of that party and of the left wing, probably. But the Puerto Ricanos don't want that, and they like what they've got. The majority of the people who voted on these issues have voted it down, that they don't want to even approach this because they've got a sweetheart deal. It's a deal unlike Guam, Virgin Islands. What's our territory? I think it was our other 2. Philippines used to be. They became free in 1946. But we'll be getting into more of this. We've got some interesting videos of how illegal aliens live and survive in this area. It's interesting how they try to take showers, where they eat, at soup kitchens, and the work they try to get. And they're not coming here lining up at the welfare office, the social services, or the voter registration office. They're just looking for work. And I know one guy, we have a video of him. He goes back as often as he can to his family in Mexico. He sends them money. He seems to have got it worked out. They have cell phones. It's quite interesting how these people survive. And they use the public facilities, the ones who want to keep clean, to be clean. So we're going to end up with our favorite theme. Here we go.
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you 5. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's your plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which
Why are you thinking of Jack B or Jack B?
Well, we don't need a qualified Republican to lose. We need qualified people. So keep in mind that the vote fraud, they're starting it now, and don't cry on the Wednesday after the first Tuesday in November that how the hell did this happen. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Thank you for listening. I encourage you to go to our YouTube, Amicus Veritas videos, and there'll be an eclectic variety going up there. Put up three today. There'll be more on auto insurance. Who's causing the increases? Nobody's looking at that. And voter fraud and a few other things. Thanks for listening.